Our scripture reading this evening comes from Psalm 135. Psalm 135, and we'll examine verse 1. Psalm 135 and 1, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord." Well, once again, good evening. Glad that you are here. Brave the element to come back out tonight. I know that I am happy to see you, but I know more importantly, God in heaven is happy that you made it back with us tonight. As we look at Psalm 135, we could call it praise and thanksgiving. We need to remind ourselves that each psalm stands alone. It is its own body of text. It does not follow after the events, for instance, of the 134th psalm, and it does not lead you into the 136th psalm. We have finished the Song of Degrees sections, which is 120 through 134. There's 15 of those psalms. And now we're getting to the last 16. And of the last 16, that's 135 through 150, inclusively that is 16 psalms, 9, or just over statistically half, 9 of these psalms are psalms of praise to God. And this psalm is definitely a psalm of praise and a psalm of worship. From this psalm, we're going to learn from David, probably David. It's not ascribed specifically, but some of the text leads me to believe David. We're going to learn the joy of worship. I often like to think that David, if you were to talk to him about church, he would tell you that he loves to go to church. He would be there every Sunday morning, and he'd be there early, and he'd have his seat, and he would have had his lesson worked up. And then he sticks around for worship, and he would come back on Sunday night, and he would come back on Wednesday night as well, and he would just sit there with such joy and such anticipation, not of talking to everybody, although that is one benefit, is that great Christian fellowship, but he would sit there and happily await the time when he could worship his God. He would not attend worship out of guilt. He would not say, "Well, preacher's talking about on Sunday morning, I need to come back," so he wouldn't feel obligated, but he would be there because he wanted to be there and that he would love to be there. And I hope you're the same way. I hope you love coming to church. Forgive me for using the word church. I probably should better say, hope you love coming to the assemblies of worship, but church is just kind of what we often say. But I hope you love coming to them. And I hope you love coming to them because they're worship. Because you know the joy of worship. Now perhaps you have attended worship here or somewhere else. And afterwards you just leave thinking, you know, I didn't get a lot out of today. The sermon, it just wasn't geared toward me. And we didn't sing any of my favorite songs. And nobody I liked prayed. And nobody I liked read. And nobody I liked waited on the Lord's Supper table. Whatever the case may be, you may have left worship and said, you know, I just didn't get much out of that. Well, you're not alone. Many people in the religious world, many devout Christians even feel that way. But they shouldn't. And you shouldn't. Because you shouldn't come to worship to get something out of it. You come to worship to give your all to God. Now, in the process, we usually get something out of it. And that's just the icing on top. We come to worship and we give God all of our attention, all of our thought, and all of our praise. I come to worship to give my God something. When Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, he's talking about working so that you will have to give to those who are in need. But you can also apply this to worship. More blessed to give in worship than to receive in worship. And David knew that. Our psalm here, it begins with praise. And it ends with thanksgiving. You could call it a hallelujah psalm. The first four words, "Praise ye the Lord," can also be translated as hallelujah. And depending on your copy of scriptures, it may be translated thusly. Hallelujah, it's a joyful word. It is translated, "Praise ye the Lord." Now, when you get to that word, "ye," I want you to maybe make a note in your mind or in your Bible or on a notepad. This is a second person plural imperative. And you're thinking, what does that mean? It means you as a group worship God. It's not you individually. It's you as a group worshiping God. You may call it a call to worship, but it's more than that. It is a joyful invitation for you to join with me or whoever invites you in the worship of Jehovah. So it begins with praise ye the Lord. Then it says praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Name oftentimes means the authority, but here it means more of the identity of God. So we are praising the identity of Jehovah God. I go back to Moses and the burning bush when Moses was making his excuses. Exodus 3, Exodus chapter 4. One of them he says very early on, he says, God, who shall I say sent me? And God says, tell them I am. I am that I am sent you. And he went on to say that by his name Jehovah, he was not known to the fathers, but it's by that name that he will be known in Israel. So name associated with the covenant God that took them to his very own name to accomplish his will through them. So we praise the name or the identity, and we're recalling that special relationship that we have with God. He is our God and we are his people. He talks about, oh ye servants. Sometimes when you work at a place, you get to thinking, well, it's no big deal. I just go into work and I punch the time clock and I do it and I go home. Or maybe you retired and you used to do that. That should never happen for the worship of God. You should never think, oh, it's no big deal. I'm just going to go to worship and then I'm going to go back on about my life. Worship should become commonplace in the fact that it's habitual. It's a habit. You're there every time the doors are open and you can be there. It's a part of your week and you start out the week mentality and you're going, all right, I know Sunday morning from 10 till noon and Sunday night from about 5:30 to 6:30, I'm going to be at church, and again Wednesday from 7 till about 8. And then you plan your rest of the week around that instead of, well, maybe if I rearrange this, I can make it to worship. I don't know. I read the other day that if you read and you actually do a good job at reading, you will become fatigued. You will become worn out because you're probably reading it correctly, because intelligent reading is hard work. Brethren, I don't argue worship's the same way. I go home Sunday afternoon and I am exhausted, and then I have to rest so I can come back tonight and worship God again. If you put the right amount in it, you're going to get the right amount out of it. Let's look at verse 2. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. He is talking about how they are to worship. I find 5 reasons in the next verses of why we should praise God. Number 1, verse 3, because He's good. Praise ye the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. There's a song in the songbook. We often sing it at vacation Bible schools and at other times. But simply, the song called, God is so good. He's so good to me. We praise little kids for being good boys or good girls. Well, why don't we praise God for His goodness? Why don't we sing praises unto Him? We need to acknowledge that God is good, appreciate that, and be thankful for it, and honor Him for the fact that He is good. God is so good to me. Number 2 reason to praise God, found in verse 4. He chose or has chosen us. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. He chose Israel. He chose Jacob, which that's Israel is Jacob's name that God changes it to. But God chose him. Hold your place here in the Psalms. Let's quickly go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Paul says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You notice what He did? He chose us before the foundation of the world. He had a plan for us before we were ever even a thought here on this earth. Let's also quickly go to 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God made a plan whereby we can be saved. In return, we need to choose Him. But remember, when you choose God, you need to choose Him first. He shouldn't be your backup plan. We weren't God's backup plan. It wasn't God's backup plan to save us. That was His first plan. So we need to make God our first plan. So that's the second reason to praise God, is because He chose us. Number three, simply is because God is great. God is great, verses 5 through 7. The psalmist says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, and in earth, and in the seas, and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries." He is great. This may be your favorite part, a lot of people's favorite part of this psalm. We even see the mist rise in the morning. We see the lightning strikes. We hear the mighty rolling thunder. We hear the wind. We can see the evidence of the wind and the rain. And we think of God. The psalmist did. When he saw God's acting in nature, he stepped back and he said, "God is great." Notice he even says He's above all gods, and that's lowercase g, because the gods, lowercase g, of the pagans, these idols, couldn't do that. Now, they had a god of the wind and a god of the thunder and a god of the sun, but they couldn't do anything. But our God can and does. In their imaginations, the idols could, but nothing else could compare with the great Jehovah in heaven. Number four is found in verses 8 and 9. Why should we praise God? Because of His deliverance from Egypt. God, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, verse 8, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. He's reminding, the psalmist is, his audience, of the great deliverance that God provided His people. And that's a reason to praise God. Number four, and the fifth reason, is His faithfulness when He gave them the land. Faithfulness in giving the land, verses 10 through 12. God, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel, His people. Now we see Sihon and we see Og mentioned frequently. Many times are they mentioned in the Old Testament, but we really don't read a whole lot of details about them. But we do know they're some of the kings that oppressed Moses as he came to the borders of the land of Canaan. And they must have been powerful and fearful kings until they faced off against Jehovah, and then God destroyed them. So that's our fifth reason for giving them the land. Now let's keep going in our psalm, verses 13 and 14. God, the Bible says, "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and Thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge His people, and He will repent Himself concerning His servants." It almost sounds like God is not pleased with them, and He's letting them suffer because they've turned their backs on Him. Even though the psalmist has just given us five reasons why we should praise God, the people aren't doing that correctly. But God is not going to let them suffer forever because God is faithful and God is true. And then he's going to compare Jehovah to the idols of the heathen. Look at verse 15. "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, are the works of man's hands." Now, man did not make God in heaven. God made man, Genesis 1 and 2. But yet these idols were made by man. They were fashioned out of man's hands, and they can do absolutely nothing except stay where they're made. Or they could move if somebody moved them. Look at verses 16 and 17. They have mouths, but they speak not. Ears or eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. So they do absolutely nothing. Look at the rebuke, verse 18. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them useless, empty, unnecessary. Brethren, they're dumb, useless things. We must be careful. I want you to note this. What we worship. Sometimes we'll take on the characteristics of what we worship. This is why it is important to have the right view of God, because if we have the right view of God and if we're worshiping God in the right mindset, then we will try to take on the attributes of God, and that will cause us to be faithful or more faithful and cause us to be better Christians. Now let's close out verses 19 through 21. I want you to count with me the times that the psalmist uses bless the Lord. You ready? Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. I counted five times there. Didn't you? He's instructing them to praise Him with thanksgiving. He starts with Israel and Aaron and Levi. That's the priestly hood. Those that fear the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, out of Jerusalem. And then he ends it as he begins it with hallelujah, or with praise ye the Lord. Here we see how fervently they worship God. And we also see everything that he had done for them. Now think about how much more he's done for us. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins. So think about how much more fervent, how much more joyful our worship ought to be. Who is it that should praise God? It's those that fear the Lord, those that serve the Lord, those that dwell at Jerusalem. Here in the psalm, literally, for us today, figuratively, those that are Christians. If you want the Lord to receive your praise, you need to fear Him, serve Him, and most importantly, you need to be a member of His church. You need to be a part of that spiritual Jerusalem. That's the church of Christ. We have learned why, how to praise the Lord. I hope you will be excited the next time an opportunity presents itself for you to worship, and you won't drag in and say, well, I've got to be here. Somebody's going to talk bad about me if I don't show up. No, you should be. I'm so glad that I get that opportunity. If you don't have that mindset, I encourage you to get it. You will look at worship a completely different way, and you'll find yourself reading, engaging in God's Word, and being an all-around better Christian. If you are not living up to that promise you made upon baptism after you heard, believed, repented, confessed, were baptized for the remission of sins, you need to do so this very evening. Sin is into your life. You need to repent, get back on track, and then worship and be joyous about that worship. If we can help you any way at all tonight, whatever your spiritual need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.